This is DW News live from Berlin. Iran's president blames Israel for the assassination of a top nuclear scientist. Hassan Rouhani said his country's peaceful nuclear ambitions would not be slowed down by the killing of Mohsen Frekazadeh in an ambush. Western intelligence officials called him the mastermind behind a clandestine bomb-making program, something Tehran denies. Also on the program, outrage in France after police beat up a black music producer as he tries to enter his studio. President Macron condemns the incident as an unacceptable attack. I'm Michael Oku. Welcome to the program. Iran's leaders have reacted defiantly to the killing of a leading nuclear scientist. President Hassan Rouhani blamed Israel for the assassination of Mohsen Frekazadeh, the man suspected of masterminding a secret nuclear weapons program. Iran's supreme leader Ali Khamenei has urged punishment for the perpetrators. Israel embassies around the world have increased their alertness level.
Mohsen Frekazadeh was killed in an ambush as he travelled along this road to the east of Tehran. Several gunmen are reported to have opened fire on his car. Shortly afterwards, a nearby truck exploded. He initially survived his injuries but later died in hospital.
First, the car carrying him was shot at, and about 15 seconds later, a Nissan pickup truck loaded with explosives blew up about 15 to 20 meters away from his car. Both inflicted wounds on him that led to his martyrdom.
State media describes him as an eminent nuclear scientist. He was also a member of the powerful Revolutionary Guard, whose job is to guard the country's cleric-dominated system. This is a rare photograph of him with other senior officials. They were meeting the country's supreme leader, indicating just how powerful a role he played in Tehran.
He was called the father of the Iran nuclear program because he was running this program, which, as you know, is part of an international dispute.
It's this role that made Frekazadeh enemies. In 2018, Israel's prime minister accused Iran of covering up an ongoing nuclear program. Despite promising world powers, it was not pursuing the bomb.
And you will not be surprised to hear that Sapand is led by the same person. A key part of the plan was to form new organizations to continue the work. This is how Dr. Mohsen Frekazadeh, head of Project Ahmad, put it. Remember that name, Frekazadeh.
Iran now says it believes Israel is responsible for the killing of the nuclear scientist. It's acknowledging his death has damaged its defenses and is vowing revenge.
I'm joined now by Guido Steinberg, an expert on the Middle East from the German Institute of International and Security Affairs. Welcome to the program, sir. Iran is blaming Israel, but is Israel actually to blame?
Well, yes, I think so. The Israelis will not tell us whether they were responsible, but they have been killing Iranian nuclear scientists for a while, especially between 2010 and 2012. And they seem to have used this last opportunity to attack Mr. Frekazadeh, possibly with American support, before the Trump administration leaves office.
U.S. President-elect Joe Biden, as you surely know, was keeping no secret about the fact that he was hoping to revive the Iran nuclear deal. I imagine this might complicate things a little.
Not a little, simply because the Israelis and the Trump administration together obviously try to make it as hard as possible for the incoming administration to restart negotiations with the Iranians. And I think that the Iranian leadership around the Supreme Leader, Ali Khamenei, will think twice before they re-enter negotiations and a possible agreement, because they know that after 4 years, another incoming administration, possibly led by one of the supporters of President Trump, will withdraw again. Mm.
Iran has vowed to retaliate. How likely is that to happen?
Well, we know that the Iranians retaliate. That's part of the reason why in 2012 the Israelis stopped their campaign of targeted killings, simply because the Iranians attacked Israeli civilians. And that's the minimum worldwide, and that's the minimum of what will happen in the coming months and years. But we have seen in recent years, for example, after the killing of Major General Soleimani in January 2020, that their options are limited. Israel, the United States, and other governments are fighting hard against Iranian hit teams abroad, and the options are limited. I don't think that it's possible for the Iranians to attack, to successfully attack Israeli embassies, for example.
Mm. Guido Steinberg from the German Institute of International and Security Affairs. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Let's have a look at some of the other stories making headlines around the world at this hour. Talks between the EU and Britain over a trade deal have resumed in London. They are being seen as a last-ditch attempt to secure a formal agreement before Britain's post-Brexit status expires at the end of the year. Both sides are seeking compromises on fishing rights, state aid, and a mechanism to resolve future disputes. A suicide bombing at an ice cream shop in Somalia's capital has killed at least 7 people. Officials say extremist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the attack. It came just hours after acting U.S. Defense Secretary Christopher Miller visited the city. The U.S. is sending its Nimitz aircraft carrier back into the Persian Gulf just weeks after it had left. Some military analysts describe this as an unusual move. Defense officials say the ship is returning to the region to provide support for U.S. troops as they withdraw from Afghanistan and Iraq. Authorities in Germany have taken action after they uncovered a group of 26 soldiers suspected of organizing a chat group containing anti-Semitic, far-right, and pornographic material. That's according to a defense ministry document seen by Reuters. The news agency says 3 of the soldiers have been banned from further military employment. French President Emmanuel Macron has described the beating of a black man by police officers as an unacceptable attack that shamed his country. Music producer Michel Zecler was trying to enter his Paris studio when 4 police agents started punching him. The incident was caught on camera, and it took place during a nationwide debate about a new bill which restricts the filming of police while on duty.
It's a disturbing video. 3 French police officers beating up a black man for 5 minutes in his own music studio. What the police officers don't know, Michel Zecler has a security camera in the lobby. The entire scene is caught on film.
It is sad to say it, but my client was lucky to have a video to report these acts, which may be isolated, but still happen. Otherwise, my client would have been detained. When it's his word against the officers, we know very well that it's the words of the officers that carry more weight.
A pattern that initially played out in the case of Michel Zecler. He was arrested and detained for 48 hours until the security footage showed up. The 3 police officers only left the building after musicians from Zecler's studio in the basement heard the noise and rushed to help. But even then, it wasn't over. Another officer threw tear gas into the lobby, forcing Zecler to go outside. Zecler needed hospital treatment for his wounds, but the physical violence was only part of the assault. They used the N-word repeatedly and looked me in the eyes and punched me. This comes as demonstrators in France protest a proposed law to limit the filming of police on duty. The legislation is designed to protect police officers from being harassed or attacked when off duty. Critics of the bill argued that it will make it harder to hold officers accountable if they use excessive force, especially if they deny it. It's clear the officers in this case lied about the incident. In their report, they claim the music producer attempted to grab their weapons and that he resisted. The Interior Minister addressed the issue on French television. I have asked the police officers to be suspended. As soon as we have all the facts, I will order their dismissal. They have put a stain on the uniform of the Republic. Michel Zeclair filed charges against the police officers. Now, the district attorney is investigating the officers for use of force on duty and false testimony.
In Ethiopia, the leader of Tigray region forces says Ethiopian government troops have begun an offensive to capture the regional capital, Mekelle. He told Reuters news agency the city was under heavy bombardment. It comes a day after Ethiopia's prime minister warned he would soon launch a final phase of military operations. 3 weeks of fighting between the government and regional forces have had a devastating impact on civilians. Tens of thousands of people have been forced from their homes. Many flee to Sudan, where they end up in camps that lack even the most basic facilities. On Friday, the UN said that the first of four humanitarian airlifts for refugees had landed in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. DW's Marielle Mueller described the situation at refugee camps along the Sudanese-Ethiopian border.
Over 43,000 refugees have crossed into Sudan since fighting broke out in Tigray in early November. And now that Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has announced his final phase in his military campaign against the Tigray People's Liberation Front, human rights groups fear that could bring huge civilian casualties and even more refugees will cross the border to Sudan. Conditions here are very difficult. Aid groups try to provide at least one meal a day, clean water and shelter. They themselves say that's not enough. We also spoke to doctors who told us they are overwhelmed by the sheer number of refugees who need medical treatment. We visited hospital tents where sick and wounded refugees were crammed together, waiting for hours in order to be treated. They come with diseases like malaria, tuberculosis, hepatitis, HIV, and doctors say there's not enough medicine to treat all these patients. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, visited the refugee camps, and he warned that the host country, Sudan, also urgently requires international assistance to support its efforts in receiving all these refugees.
And to some football now. Match day 9 in the Bundesliga kicked off on Friday night with in-form Wolfsburg hosting Werder Bremen. The Wolves went into the match unbeaten this season, and Bremen gave their all to break their opponent's hot streak. Sit back and enjoy a few highlights of what turned out to be an 8-goal thriller.
A minute silence for the great Diego Maradona. A moment of reflection before the goals start rolling in. After just 13 minutes, Yuyu Osako found Leonardo Bittencourt, who smashed the ball home for Bremen. But the visitors' lead didn't last long. Riedle Baku equalised for Wolfsburg with this shot. Just 3 minutes later, USA international John Anthony Brooks put the Wolves in front. Bremen kept up the pressure. Substitute Kevin Möwald with this incredible header made it 2-2 after 36 minutes. More excitement when just 1 minute later, Wolfsburg took back their lead going into halftime. Dutchman Wout Weghorst taking the honours. After the break and after an own goal from Wolfsburg's John Anthony Brooks, which had levelled the score, the home side were back in front. Weghorst again. But that wasn't the end of it. Bartosz Bialek made it 5-3 in extra time. Wolfsburg now extend their unbeaten run to 9 matches.
So most athletes over 50 wouldn't dare return to their professional sport, especially if it was boxing. But that hasn't stopped Mike Tyson from taking on Roy Jones Jr. tonight in Los Angeles. Tyson, known for his knockout power, became a heavyweight champion when he was only 20 years old back in 1986, but he hasn't fought since 2005. Now the 54-year-old says he's ready to rumble. Jones is 3 years younger. He was once regarded as the most talented boxer on the planet, but hung up his gloves 2 years ago. Tyson is the favorite to win this bout between boxing greats. And a reminder of our top story. A leading Iranian nuclear scientist has been assassinated in a targeted attack near the capital, Tehran. Western governments have long suspected Mohsen Farkasadeh of playing a leading role in the country's attempts to develop nuclear weapons. You're watching DW News live from Berlin. Up next, DW reporter meets a woman who survived a severe case.